Thank you for tuning into the Debbie Devotional Podcast, a monthly show focusing on Debbie prospects, strategies, and incoming rookies. Now here's your host.
Welcome into the Debbie Devotional, where we stay devoted to Debbie. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, joined as always by Aaron Wilcox at AaronWilcox86 on Twitter. But tonight we have a very special guest. It's my other co-host from my other podcast, Andy at AstarFF on Twitter. And he's coming over from the Full Tilt Debbie podcast. If you guys haven't followed me over there, sometimes we end up doing two pods on the same night, and I will go from DD to FT. And Andy joins me over there. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. It's, I haven't been on any other shows, actually, besides Full Tilt Debbie. So this is, I'm breaking really? my guest's podcasting bubble here. So big fan of the show, you guys. So it's fun to be here. And I can't wait to talk some rookies because I do have some fiery opinions. I think that might differ from some of the consensus that we've been getting so far. It's still early in the process, though, obviously.
TDE is hyped. Let's go. But yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that you hadn't guested on another pod, but here you are. We're happy to have you. And the reason why we brought him on is we just wanted another opinion on what the hell happened this weekend and, and how everyone feels about it. Because obviously, if you're on Twitter, then you probably know that the sky is falling. Everything is on fire. You know, the ship is sinking and whatever else you can come up with. And I guess, you know, maybe we always try to be a voice of reason in the streets. And so, you know, maybe that's what we're going to try and be tonight. We wanted to bring Andy on and everything. But Aaron, I didn't really talk to you yet. So how are you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. And we just jumped into a rookie draft in a league that I'm in. Well, that you commish that I'm in. So, I mean, we're already getting into it. We're having to actually get our rankings together immediately. So this will be really fun to talk through that today.
Yeah, everyone paid up and everyone was like, hey, why are we waiting? Like, you want to just start the league? And I was like, or start the draft? I'm like, we can. I don't really care as long as everyone agrees to it. And so we got 12 votes and we got started. And we're already through pick 105. So, you know, it's moving pretty quick. We only just started a couple hours ago. But like I said, we're going to be talking tonight about everything that went down. Obviously, I don't think that anyone expected exactly what happened this weekend with the draft. And so, you know, if you did, then you should probably be betting a lot in future drafts because you're clearly pretty good at this. But there was a lot of surprises, a lot of things that, you know, didn't surprise us. You know, we expected certain things to happen and they did, but I guess just to start it out, like, what was your biggest surprise of the draft, Andy? What kind of blew your mind?
I wasn't expecting Sean Tucker to go completely undrafted. I figured a team was going to take at least a shot on him with like a sixth or seventh. Now we are finding out that he's getting like guaranteed money at the equivalent of like a sixth or seventh round draft pick from Tampa Bay. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to really follow what their line of thinking was there. But, I thought somebody was going to take a shot on him. And then also Zach Evans. I knew that, he was going to probably fall a little bit, maybe out of day two. Obviously, he did fall out of day two. But I thought he'd be early on day three at the absolute worst. And he fell all the way to the sixth round, I believe. So couple shocks there with the running backs. And then, you know, there's always guys that get picked earlier than what you expect. I don't really want to go through all of them. But from the wide receivers, I would say Josh Downs was a guy that I thought was going to go higher than he did. He still got day two capital, but, you know, later in the third. So not the best for Downs. And, I won't talk much about the situation there at this point. But, we would have liked to see him go a little bit earlier, you know, being as dynamic as he was in college.
Yeah, definitely. Toronto Dave is a big Downs fan. He's not been a happy camper so far this weekend. Aaron, what was your biggest surprise?
For me, it had to be that Jahmyr Gibbs trade, or subsequent trade of DeAndre Swift after the Gibbs pick in the first. I'm like, wow, that is early for running back. A, what are you doing, Lions? B, that's already a position of strength for them. But I mean, I get it if they're like, you know, we really don't trust Swift anymore to stay healthy. And if they really saw Jahmyr Gibbs as a guy they can keep under that rookie contract and build around, I don't know. I was very surprised to see that, especially that landing spot, because I did recognize the possibility of him going in the first. So very interesting. I would say that was kind of the big one that stuck out for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gibbs has to be it because, I mean, no one, you know, you heard a lot of like late first possibly to get the fifth year option and that kind of thing, but you didn't hear too much of even like top 20, you know, much less 12. And it's that definitely blew my mind. I was not expecting that. And Tommy T's already in the chat talking about Zay Flowers. Man, we'll get into that here in a little bit, but yeah, he's got it right though. But I think that I guess I should ask, what do you think it ended up being good for both players with Gibbs and with Swift? Because obviously, you know, it could have been much worse if they had kept all three players and like that kind of thing. But obviously now we know that that Swift is on the Eagles, and so that we can say, you know, was this like the best of both worlds for both of these players?
I mean, I'll jump in. I will say that it was surprising to see the Lions, like, upper management react to that pick. Like, they seemed like they just won the lottery, which, you know, I guess you got to feel good about it there. And then, like you said, he's getting that upper draft capital. Like, we need to react appropriately. As far as Swift, I feel like for us dynasty players, like him getting traded was obviously very good, but I'm not sure it really improves his situation that much. Like at the end of the day, he's still in a running back room that has at least, you know, two or three guys that have had fantasy relevant games. You know, we liked Kenny Gainwell, Rashad Penny, who's also had his injury issues, he could still very well be an RB1. So I'm not sure it's like an upgrade for Swift. So I think it was kind of like this, a blessing, you know, another sell window. Honestly, if you have Swift, like I would be unloading him right now, because I think you could probably get, you know, that a lower end first, maybe a second for him. At that price, I think I'm ready to just, you know, call it quits. It's also worth it to gamble, but at the end of the day, I think this is probably going to be his last year on his contract. He might have another year. I think I'll have to look that up. But to me, it just feels like, Tommy T's already talking. He says he sold him for a first yesterday. And I think that's the move. Like if you can get a first for Swift, like you got to do it right now because it's not going to last long. Or, you know, we're not psychics here. It could certainly end up well for him as well, but I just feel like there's enough there now where like his value already tanked once. Like do you want to hold on to it and see it happen again? I certainly don't.
And I can see both sides of that argument, right? The kind of risk of, well, not even risk, but just, yeah, the uncertainty, I guess, of a new spot. But I did like the landing spot. It was almost near perfect situation where there wasn't already a back that he had to share with necessarily when he heads in there. Again, we don't expect Swift to be like a 90-plus percentage of the touches type of back. But as long as he's getting the majority share, that's kind of intriguing. And I do think that the Lions limited him for a number of reasons, majority of that being his health, yes. So he needs to get that steady if he's going to be, you know, a really productive guy for us. But I think if you've been holding on to him and he finally gets into this better situation where he can become potentially more unleashed, I can see wanting to capitalize on him if you can really get a nice upgrade somewhere. Or like you said, if you can get premium capital, I don't know if I'm selling him for future first. If there's a little bit more involved, I think I'm all for it. Honestly, it was just funny to see. I was updating my dynasty rankings during day one and day two of the draft and even into day three. And first I bumped Swift down a decent amount when the Gibbs trade happened. I'm like, well, I know he'll be traded eventually, right? But then when I saw the Eagles landing spot, I almost brought him back all the way up to where he was before. He might even go higher just because I don't mind the landing spot. Hopefully they'll hold him back less than the Lions did.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get on board with selling him for 24 first unless you're in like a full rebuild, because, you know, assuming that you need fantasy points, then 24 first isn't cutting it for you. And, you know, I get the concerns with Swift, but I mean, when he has been healthy, the dude's a stud. And now, I mean, obviously the Lions had a very good offensive line as well. They just weren't using him properly. We have no idea how the Eagles are going to use him, but they did just trade for him. So, you know, you hope when a team trades for a player that they're, you know, planning on using him. So I would need a little bit more than I would need more than a 24 first. I would at least want a 23 first to where I can go get a player that can score me points now, like that kind of thing. I'm fine like pivoting off of Swift. And obviously, it doesn't always have to be a first. You can go get a different player or whatever. I'm fine selling Swift. I have no issues with that. I just don't really love the idea of, oh, I'm selling it for 24 first. And then, you know, like, what am I going to do? I'm waiting until somebody decides they're rebuilding and now I'm going to go get points? No, I want points, you know, as soon as possible.
The other aspect of all this is Jalen Hurts. Like, you know that he's going to account for maybe 40% of that team's rushing touchdowns. So, again, the situation, I think, probably is obviously better than Detroit, because
do you think that's going to go down now that they just paid him $250 million though? You know, we've already seen Patrick Mahomes dislocate a knee trying to get through those piles and everything. I'm not saying it's some common occurrence, but no one really rushes the way that Jalen Hurts is rushing.
I will say, I think that that's something that's hard to coach out of somebody. Like if you're on the field and you're in the play and you see a lane to score a touchdown, you're probably going to take it. Maybe there will be less designed runs, like, you know, less of those, like RPOs or not RPOs, but like, those option runs with the quarterback where he just keeps it.
I'm talking about more of the 1 yard push play, you know, where yeah,
no, I don't think those will go down.
Yeah. I honestly think that, I mean, there might be a slight dip, right? That makes sense. You get even a better back than what they had before. Not that Miles Sanders was absolutely terrible, but you know, we'd say that Swift is probably an upgrade debatably around the goal line, but ultimately, yeah, that's one of Jalen Hurts's biggest edges that he can give a team, is that he can certainly give them high end success around the goal line and in those red zone situations with his legs. So you take that away and it's like you're going to hamstring your offense a little bit, kind of some of the things that they're building and what made them so lethal last year. So I think to a degree, the rushing touchdowns, I mean, he's still going to have quite a few of them unless he gets injured. Like you mentioned, John, it's possible, right? That can happen. But I don't think that they're also like the highest risk when he's just following those big offensive linemen and falling into the end zone. But we'll see.
I was more just bringing it up. You know, I think teams always get a little more concerned when you have those millions and millions of dollars on the line. And Tommy T just hates Swift, obviously, because he's comparing him to Miles Sanders. I'm sorry, but DeAndre Swift is a much better running back than Miles Sanders. you can make the argument that he can't stay healthy, and that's perfectly fine, but you cannot make the argument that he's not a better talent than Miles Sanders. But, you know, we've seen what DeAndre Swift can be when he actually is healthy. But enough about Swift. That was just one of the trades. That was the big surprise of the draft. Obviously, there was a lot more that happened. Obviously, we know TD is a big Slime Sanders fan, so I'm not trying to besmirch, but if you know, you know. all right, so Aaron, I'm going to ask you, what was your favorite pick of the first round? Obviously, you know, there weren't too many like fantasy viable players that went in the first, but you know, what was your favorite pick? Maybe it was the landing spot, maybe it was the actual pick itself, they went a little later or whatever, but what'd you like?
I really liked Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC, going to the Minnesota Vikings at pick 23. And I know that might sound like a homer deal, but you know, for people who listen to the show, it's not like I'm always just touting all Vikings and all, you know, Gophers players. Like, I legitimately like the pick for what it is. It gives another weapon outside of Jefferson, which is awesome for Jefferson, but there's also going to be room for another fantasy viable wide receiver. They obviously lose Thielen. I think it's just a great spot, and he's a great talent. So if you want to go back to listen to a little bit more of our specific player analysis, we just did a mock draft just last week, and we went in depth all the great things about Jordan Addison as a player. But yeah, ultimately, I think that was great because they got him on the end of a run. There was JSN, there was Quentin Johnson, there was Zay Flowers. They all went directly before Jordan Addison. So being able to scoop still a tier one wide receiver up in this class and a guy who I potentially like more than Zay Flowers or Quentin Johnston. Yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't found too many people that hate the pick there. In fact, I'd say most people really do like it. I guess I've heard a couple people that are, you know, concerned about Jay Jeff just being too good, but you know, I think we've kind of disproven that at this point, you know, that like two stud wide receivers can be two stud wide receivers in a good offense, even without the best QBs. It can still happen as long as you have a decent QB, which Kirk Cousins is decent. I know Aaron might have his own opinions on the matter because he's not the biggest Kirk Cousins fan, but I think you know that Cousins can do enough to get the ball to these guys.
Absolutely. And if you think about like from an analytical standpoint, if Justin Jefferson's getting maybe 35% of the receptions there, yards there, it's like there's still a lot of other available targets and receptions, yards, all those things in that offense. So that's intriguing. But how about you, Andy? Any favorite picks from either the first or maybe later on?
Well, I would have taken Jordan Addison as my favorite pick in the first. So I'm going to take my favorite not pick in the first, and that is the fall of one Will Levis. It was my favorite thing about day one of the draft night. Every time they showed his stupid face, I got a good laugh. And I don't want to talk trash about the guy's family, but for whatever reason, I didn't like them either. But it's unhealthy. I realized that, but I got joy from watching Will Levis continue to fall. And every time ESPN would play, say like, there's only a 2% chance that Will Levis would still be available here. And that number just kept going down to like 0.1%. And I was in the Full Tilt Discord just saying like, you know, oh, I hope he brought another suit for day two. He's going to have to hit Men's Warehouse tonight. But that was beautiful. Like it was just, it felt like vindication for everything that I've just been thinking. And the best part about all of it is like, he still went early on day two. So there's still people that are taking him in the first round of rookie drafts. Don't do that. But thank you to the people that are still doing that because you are leaving better players for the rest of us to draft.
I've heard of at least three occasions from just like personal, you know, friends of mine that, you know, like in their draft or them personally took Will Levis in the first round. So I know that for a fact that it is happening still, which is amazing. And we really do appreciate you all. Thank you so very much. That was great. You know, I don't feel like I have the like actual hatred in my heart for the person like you do. But you know, it was pretty hilarious. You know, it's just like these players that shouldn't be going that early shouldn't go that early. Unfortunately, one of the players that shouldn't go that early did go that early, and Tommy T wants to talk about him. AR-15, number four. It blows my mind. I get it. Like, people always fall in love with the athleticism, you know, Henry Ruggs and Kevin White and, you know, and now Anthony Richardson. They're all the same player. You know, he'll probably make that transition to tight end. I think I heard Tommy T comping him to Vernon Davis earlier today. And I honestly love the comp. Like, I really do. You know, he could actually be a stud tight end in the league for years to come. So I appreciate you saying that on the Full Tilt Dynasty podcast earlier, Tommy T. You know, and I really do love the comp there, buddy. But what do you guys think of the Anthony Richardson landing spot, him going at four overall, all that kind of stuff?
I mean, I personally think it is a good landing spot if we're going to be objective about it, right? They have some weapons. They took Josh Downs, as much as that was mentioned earlier. Sorry, Dave. That, you know, he did fall a bit. It's not like he fell out of day two. And also we spent a lot of time on our previous podcast not relying solely on draft capital, right? Everybody who's going to fade Josh Downs because he lasted till the third round. It's like, if you're just going to ignore everything that he did in college, including some of the most impressive production in the whole entire wide receiver class, then I guess that's on you. But ultimately, some good weapons there for Anthony Richardson. I don't really know how they're going to develop. Richardson there. I think they're going to want him to play early and just see what he can pick up on, as he has very limited experience as a starter. I think he has the least experience ever out of a first round quarterback or something like that. I thought I saw some stat like that. So the least amount of games started, at least. And I think it shows, right, on his production, on his film, that he still has a lot of learning to do. But I think that's the allure of a guy like that. It's not like he's had like 5 years of college production to show us he's bad. It's like, yeah, we have a really small sample size, and you know, the athleticism is obviously evident. So I get the people who are really excited about it. I'm kind of lukewarm. I do like it to a degree, because they'll have a strong running game. They should have a decent enough offensive line. I don't know. There's reasons for optimism. But yeah, any other opinions on Richardson?
I kind of feel the same way you do. Like, it's a good landing spot. I mean, people are going to be drafting him at 102 or 101, and you know, like, that's fine, I guess. He's super athletic. I would never draft him there. I think there's a chance that Gardner Minshew starts the season for at least a few games, because this guy, he's raw. He had less than, you know, what, right around 50% completion percentage in college. He's got the cannon for an arm, but his accuracy in the shorter intermediate throws is, you know, really below average. So, you know, that's stuff that he'll need to obviously work on. So I don't think you'll see, you know, this elite production in year one, but you know, who am I to say that it's not going to happen down the road? I'm not going to make any bets on it personally, but it's certainly possible. Like, he definitely has the highest fantasy upside out of all these quarterbacks, but the chance that he hits that ceiling is a lot slimmer than CJ Stroud hitting his ceiling, which is still going to be a QB1, or Bryce Young hitting his ceiling, which is still going to be a QB1. So I get it. Like, if you're going for swinging for the fences, then yeah, Anthony Richardson's probably the pick. But you're betting on a guy figuring out a lot in the next few months, and I don't see it happening in the next few months. Like I said, it could be a year or two down the road where he's actually, like, you know, hits that Josh Allen level of elite production. But again, it's not something that I would recommend betting on when you're sitting at the top of the draft there. You've got, you know, Bijan Robinson for one. I would never pass on him at 101. And then after that, I'd feel much more comfortable taking Bryce Young or even CJ Stroud before Anthony Richardson. But, you know, people are going to take Anthony Richardson. I'm not going to say that they're wrong for doing it. I just don't think that it's something that I would do.
Yeah. I think that, you know, there's a time and a place to pick every player. And, you know, there's a time when you should start going for upside and that kind of thing. 102 is not that time. You know, 102 is when you get the safe stud players that you can actually score points and are, you know, are proven in college and will still be QB1s, like you said, Andy. You know, it's not like we're not saying safe, like, oh, they're going to be QB22. Like, no, they're still going to be a top eight, you know, top 10 QB at worst. And that's when you take those players. And then 107, 108, 109, 110 is probably where I would start feeling comfortable. And then you go take a player like that. But I honestly, I do really think, I was going to ask you guys, do you think you should go try to get Gardner Minshew from people? Because there's a very good chance that he starts the entire season. At the very least, there's a good chance that he starts half the season. And obviously we don't know schedules. We don't know when their bye week is. And you know, that's generally when rookie QBs come in. So, you know, at that point you could have gotten a half a season or more. I mean, sometimes these bye weeks are like week 14, you know, who knows? So I guess it would obviously depend on your league mate and, you know, do they think that Anthony Richardson's coming in week one and going to start, you know, like that kind of thing. But would you be trying to send out some offers? Should you have been trying to send out some offers like all weekend? Or how do you feel about that?
And I'm kind of Matt on that. I mean, I think it's fine, but ultimately they're going to want to see what their investment can offer there at some point, right? So he'll probably just give you that short term, you know, maybe startable, flexible type of QB2 production, but I'm not super excited for Minshew's production either. I've always kind of liked him, but unfortunately this probably isn't that opportunity that I'm looking forward to. But again, he might be really cheap. Like, I just traded for Andy Dalton, who's going to be Bryce Young's backup. And it's like, I mean, I'm not even anticipating getting a lot of starts out of Dalton this year, if any. There might not be any, to be honest, because we like Bryce Young, right? We think that he's pretty pro ready. But at the end of the day, if it's super cheap, like, I basically paid nothing for it, so it made sense for me to lock up that guy. I already had Bryce Young, so it makes sense why sometimes you want to secure your handcuff too. So yeah, not a bad option if you already have or are planning to draft Richardson, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we saw so many QBs start last year. 68, I think it was. It was a lot of QBs, whatever it was. And so, yeah, having those backups, you know, a lot of times, I mean, obviously no one expected Brock Purdy to be starting at any point. And then, you know, there he was starting like, what, 6-7 games. So, you know, I'm not saying go out of your way to get these backups, but at the very least, you know, you have the backup to a guy. But, you know, I know Tommy T, you know, Steichen said that he said the most important thing for a player is to get early reps. And, you know, I heard that as well. I'm not taking late April, early May coach speak as the gospel. So I, you know, you can say that until you get the guy on the field and then you're like, yeah, he's not seeing the field just yet. He can get some late reps.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's coach speak. And I kind of feel the same way about Minshew. Like, if you can get him for like a third, I guess go for it. But you know, I'm not spending much anything more than that. Even a third feels like a little expensive if it's like a third from this draft. As far as like, you know, early reps and just the landing spot in general, I think for most of the rookie QBs, those early reps can sometimes be harmful because they're in a bad situation. But I do think Anthony Richardson is in a good situation with like that offensive line. He's got that run game to support him. A good wide receiver one, at least. Now he's got Downs there as well. So there's some safety blankets there as well. I don't think, you know, you're going to hurt him by starting him early. So I do agree with Steichen in that aspect. Whether or not they do it though, is anyone's guess at this point. Because it is still very early. And again, like I said, he's got a lot to learn in the next few months if he's going to be an NFL starting quarterback.
Well, like you said, I mean, he has a great supporting cast. So, you know, that's probably the best thing that you can say, a better supporting cast than a lot of these other guys out there. It's just that he has so far to reach just to get to starter level. But enough about Anthony Richardson. Let's see. We talked about that, I guess. You mentioned, you know, third round picks, and, you know, I all I've heard is how nothing after 107 even matters. Trade everything, trade every pick. So, you know, what's the most egregious narrative that you've heard or, you know, or thing that you've heard since the draft about this draft class, Aaron?
I mean, I just heard similar sentiments to that. And I will say that I am somewhat more disappointed with how the depth going into that, you know, second round range has played out. I will be honest. I'll say that I am more disappointed. I think that there was opportunity for more specifically of the running backs to land in great spots. I'm not actually disappointed about the wide receivers at all. And I didn't have to adjust my rankings much there, but running backs, unfortunately, a lot of them moved down or just, you know, are more murky than they were before. So I will say, you know, that's probably a narrative that I've heard as well. And I don't actually think that third's that bad of a place. Like, I think the second kind of, if the value is decreased, or maybe even the very end of the first round, I guess. But and at least in when one QB leagues, maybe not as much in Superflex. But once you get into that second round, yeah, it does fall off. But the second and third round still has a lot of guys where I'm interested. I still want to make some selections there. It's maybe not as comparable to some other years where the depth has been really, really solid into the second, but hey, we don't get that every year. And we should, I guess, keep that in mind. But yeah, that's a narrative I've been hearing as well.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts on it haven't really much. I kept hearing that the running backs, you know, were getting bombed in this draft. I actually kind of liked a lot of the landing spots, especially the day three running backs, which are those are the guys that you're going to be getting in the second and third round. Like, you know, you talk about Izzy Abanaconda, people are saying that's a bad spot. I know they're saying Breece Hall is going to be ready for training camp, but he had an ACL injury in November. I still think that there's a chance that, you know, he doesn't see much time in the summer, and he, you know, he's maybe not fully ready week one. And if that's the case, and, you know, Izzy's going to get, you know, maybe let's say a 2 or 3 week tryout, at least in a timeshare role, where, you know, you can take him in the third and maybe flip him for a second if he has a couple big games. So that sort of thing, you know, with the day three running backs, you know, obviously also, I told you guys I did not prepare for this at all.
So, like Zach Evans, right? That's kind of interesting. If somehow Zach, Cam Akers is not really, you know, fully back to health, or maybe, you know, Sean McVay still doesn't trust him.
I'm just looking at the whole list here, like Evan Hall at Indianapolis. Like, we know JT's had some issues. They got rid of Nyheim Hines last year. Like, he could immediately fill in that receiving role. Eric Gray's going to the Giants, where, you know, Saquon Barkley's obviously the guy, but, you know, he's had some issues. You know, are they going to
He hasn't signed his contract either.
Right. So, you know, guys like that, I'm trying to remember who went to Cincinnati. It's escaping my mind.
Chase Brown.
You know, that's a great spot too. So these day three running backs, and we've been seeing day three running backs, you know, becoming more fantasy relevant. Roshan Johnson for Chicago. Like, he's going to be more expensive probably now than I'm comfortable paying, but I think that's, you know, one of the better day three landing spots in this whole draft. So there's value in these late second and third round picks, because these guys are in situations where they could see playing time very early, and it doesn't take much for that to happen. So, and again, and the quarterbacks too, like Hendon Hooker going to Detroit Lions in the third round. He's going to be like a later second pick. He's going to get a chance there at some point. It might be 2 years down the road when they decide not to re-sign Goff. Maybe it doesn't come at all, but, you know, he's going to be an injury away as well from just being a full-time starter on an NFL team. So I think there's value to be had. It's just, you know, you got to make sure you're picking the right players and avoiding the Tank Bigsby of the world. And then, you know, guys like Josh Downs, who I thought was, you know, a slam dunk first round rookie pick, he's now getting pushed down into the middle of the second because of his, you know, fall from into the late third round. I think, you know, there's a great guy you could scoop up in the middle of the second now for, you know, who I think at least is going to be, you know, a pretty darn good receiver in the NFL for a lot of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many of the, like, the best players went to not the greatest landing spots, and that's why the, you know, disdain for this draft has really, you know, come to fruition. It's like, you know, if Zach Charbonnet had gone to Cincinnati instead of Chase Brown, people would have moved him up to 103, you know, like he would have been 103. You wouldn't be hearing about, you know, any of this nonsense with QBs or whatever. It would just be that simple. And like you said, even if Izzy Abanaconda goes to Chicago instead of, you know, the Jets, you know, you have so much more excitement for those players. So it's not that they didn't get drafted. It's not that they didn't get draft capital. It's just that they didn't go to the best landing spots. But then, like you said, you have players like Zach Evans. You have players like even, you know, late undrafted free agent and Sean Tucker going to the Bucks, where they basically have no one behind Rashad White. I mean, there's so many, you know, more players. There's even more, you know, like undrafted free agents that I haven't even like truly dug into yet, but you know, like they're starting to look pretty nice. Like, at least, you know, the guy behind, you know, like that kind of thing. So you have a couple injuries and next thing you know, he's the next man up, and you love to get that on a taxi squad or something. So I agree with you. You know, it took a hit because it wasn't exactly the landing spots that we wanted for the top end guys. But then we ended up maybe possibly getting a little more depth because of just good opportunity and everything later on. But even then, the top end guys still have great opportunity. I was talking about earlier with, I think it was Aaron or no, it was somebody else. But I was saying how, like, if Zach Charbonnet gets, or I'm sorry, if Kenneth Walker gets hurt And Zach Charbonnet could easily be like a league winner, you know, and next thing you know, you're feeling great about that pick, you know, that you got in probably like the early second at that point, because people just absolutely hate him now. And, you know, people always are saying like, let's draft the league winners, you know, at the end of the first, that kind of thing. And now they hate him because, you know, Kenneth Walker is going to walk all over him. Well, it's like, well, no, he's still a good running back. And I mean, if they drafted him early, they're probably still going to use him. I still think he's going to be a viable player. He's just obviously not going to have that week winning upside, most likely, unless something were to happen. But I mean, these are running backs. Stuff happens all the time. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of touch on that, you know, like that it seems like people are just kind of like completely out on this draft class. And, you know, I think it's absolutely hilarious that somebody I heard on a podcast yesterday after the draft and everything, of course, that somebody was like, well, this draft class, you know, isn't nearly as good as 2022 was. It's just like, oh my God. Like, how before, obviously now we have hindsight and everything, but you know, during that draft, during your rookie drafts, everyone hated every single pick. It's the same exact thing. We're doing the same exact thing, guys. Like, it blows my mind. What are we doing here?
I mean, 20 to say 2022 is better is asinine. Like, that's crazy. Like, there's not even a quarterback that I want in that draft anymore. Like, you could say Kenny Pickett, but no thanks. I mean, I know Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder are going to get their chances here, but I don't want to spend too much time in 2022, but that's a bad take.
And well, the running, also just using hindsight bias. Like, that's all it is. You know, it's like, well, Chris Olave hit, Garrett Wilson hit, like all these players that everyone hated hit. And then now, I mean, obviously people didn't hate Garrett Wilson, but I mean, they said, oh, the landing spot, Zach Wilson, whatever. Chris Olave was a senior. He couldn't possibly be good. And, you know, now it's, oh, well, 2022 was an elite class. 2023 just absolutely sucks. It couldn't possibly be good, guys. What do you think, Aaron?
No, I mean, it's funny how we do that. And we talked about that on our last pod even too. So it's always a crazy process and everything's so fresh, right? I think we're all hurt a little bit. So let's just take a little self-care this weekend and going into this next week, right? Do something you like. I'm very sorry that Zach Charbonnet, you know, went to a crowded situation there, that Kendre Miller is not getting the start day one necessarily, that Tank Bigsby's now probably the number two, that, you know, Zach Evans fell, right? You keep going down the list, but ultimately let's not go overboard, right? Let's just say, take a deep breath, right? We calm down and we say, actually, there's some opportunity here. Might have to wait for it, or maybe it didn't come in the way that we expected. But let's not panic. And I agree. There's plenty of good quarterback talent in this class to be excited about. There's a lot of wide receiver. We haven't talked a lot about the wide receivers yet. A lot of them were drafted actually kind of earlier than some of us expected. So there's guys who are now moving up into the late second, into the third range that we could actually get excited about. So I don't know if that segues us into talking specifically about some of them, but I think that there's reason for optimism here. So yeah, that's a good thing.
I mean, I've mentioned on, I think, both of our pods before that, you know, one of my favorite things about this draft class isn't necessarily how great the players are. It's the people falling in love with the shitty players that I love. And we're getting even more of it because Rashee Rice is a Chief. Jonathan Mingo got drafted in the second round. Like, there's so many different examples of what the hell's his name?
Cedric Tillman.
Schoonmaker is a thing all of a sudden. Cedric Tillman is getting pushed up boards because of, you know, everything. And that's just the wide receivers. I mean, that's not even getting into, or I mean, obviously Schoonmaker's a tight end, but you know, we can get into the tight ends. There's tight ends that are getting pushed up because of their draft capital and everything. But a lot of these players are getting pushed up and it's bringing down these quality players. Like, I've seen multiple times Zach Charbonnet go at like 204. In you know, in rookie drafts, so, you know, like actual rookie drafts so far, Kendre Miller going, you know, late. And you know, you were saying, Aaron, that you didn't think he was going to start day one. I mean, there's a decent shot that he's starting day one. I mean, I don't think it's that wild for him to be there. I mean, I guess maybe technically not starting, but yeah, to have, I think, like a quality role on day one, I should say.
Absolutely. And a lot depends on Kamara, but I just think that right now, you know, we look at these situations and we say, oh, there's a guy there, right? And it just feels feels bad, right? It discourages us, but we actually shouldn't let that completely discourage us.
And there's always been a guy there with Kamara, though. Yeah. Ingram, you know, like Tony, whatever the hell his name is. I can't think of his last name right now, but there's always been a guy with Kamara. Like, he doesn't get 30 touches a game. It just doesn't happen. So I love the landing spot for Kendre. Obviously, if Kamara gets suspended, he's getting older, you know, like things can happen, and Kendre could easily be once again another league winner. So I love that. But why don't we touch on a little, you know, a few more of the wide receivers, because I kind of went off on a tangent there or a rant, and we started talking about the wide receivers. But Andy, I'm going to ask you about one of my favorite sleepers, like Debbie sleepers, that I've been talking about for at least like a year now, if not longer. I moved him up way too high in my rankings, and maybe now it wasn't too high, because Jaden Reed went extremely early here. I even talked last week on Monday. We had a pod, and I drafted Jaden Reed in the second. What was it, like mid to late second, I think it was, Aaron? And I kind of got some grief about that pick, but hey, here we are. What do you think of Reed?
Well, first of all, he went to my Packers. My instant reaction was they just drafted like a smaller Christian Watson. And I feel like they don't really need the special teams aspect that he brings, because they've already got a Pro Bowl special teamer and their kick returner Mixon. So I didn't get the pick, but I'm happy for Reed that he got, you know, that early draft capital, because I do have you know, some Reed shares from my C2C leagues. Additionally, you know, he was a really early breakout. A lot of people might not know he started at Western Michigan before going to Michigan State, and he was behind guys like, you know, Dwayne Eskridge and Sky Moore when he was there, and he was still balling out, you know. And those guys were obviously, you know, busts in the NFL, but they also got high draft capital. So he's a good player. I'm not sure I like the pick for my Packers, because Josh Downs was still on the board, and I was really, really screaming at the TV for them to draft Josh Downs. But as far as like it's concerned for Reed, like, yeah, I'm happy. He's another guy who's probably going to, just because he's on the Packers and there's just a legion of Packer fans in the world, he's probably going to see his ADP jump into like the later to mid second round, I would think, maybe early third. You know, I think he's good, right? He's an athletic guy. He's going to make plays once the ball's in his hands. It's just going to be a question of whether or not the ball can get to his hands. You know, if Jordan Love's, you know, a reliable quarterback in this offense, and, you know, depending on, I'm trying to think, they've added those two tight ends as well. At least we think Musgrave, you know, big athletic tight end like that is going to command some of the passing volume. But it's still early for tight ends too to do anything like that. So really the only other guy on offense there is Christian Watson catching passes, and obviously Aaron Jones and you know, the running backs with AJ Dillon. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Packers do, because they focused a lot on offense in this draft. They drafted three wide receivers, two tight ends, a quarterback, and Lou Nichols, the running back, who, you know, at one point in time,
Aaron Rodgers, his guys, you know, like,
I know
he finally has that wide receiver core to throw to.
Well, that's the thing, is like, now that they don't have Aaron Rodgers to like carry the entire offense, like, oh, we got to actually draft an offense now. So that's what they did. And
want to talk about being stuck between a rock and a hard place, though. Do you want Josh Downs to go to the Packers with Jordan Love, or do you want to go him to go to the Colts with Anthony Richardson?
Oh, Packers, please. I would have. Oh, the Packers would have been so much better, especially at that spot in the draft. But because I think Reed went in the second, right? Yeah, he did. So he was their second round pick. So, but I think eventually it's going to be 2021 all over again, when they drafted Amari Rodgers when Amon-Ra St. Brown was still on the board, and I was screaming at the TV then as well. So
whoa. Jaden Reed's actually not talented, though. That,
yes, that's, I'm not,
that's not good that far.
Let me just clarify, I'm not comparing Amari Rodgers to Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed's actually a good player. So That's why I'm not as angry as back then.
Yeah, and I also like Jaden Reed. I don't really need to touch further on that. I mean, yes, maybe lackluster offense, but we know that can change if there is maybe an infusion in quarterback talent the following year, things like that. So certainly room for optimism. So he's a riser. So I have to commend John for, you know, he's been on Reed for a long time. So that's really well done. And you'll notice even some of the guys here that we touched on in the mock, they ended up rising a decent amount because of the draft. Now, we need to separate. Okay, they went early in the draft. Let's draft them in the early second. Like, we don't want to do that with Rashee Rice or Tank Dell or Jonathan Mingo. But, you know, obviously that lends them a lot more opportunity. So now those third round selections, if you can get them in the third, let's say the league mates aren't falling for the draft capital thing, right? They actually become kind of intriguing third round bets. You just don't know sometimes about these kids' college paths. And if they find themselves in very favorable situations, you know, they, one of them could develop and pop for sure. So very interesting. Some of the guys who are now getting more attention because they went on day two. We talked about Cedric Tillman to the Browns earlier. And I mean, I'm still somewhat lukewarm on him. I don't think I have him in my top 10 wide receivers in the class, but still, he's a guy who now, if you can grab him in the third, you feel really good about it.
And I think that's the most important thing you could probably take away from this entire podcast is just don't push up these players that just don't have any kind of production profile just because they got draft capital. And, you know, that's obviously something that we've talked about plenty of times on the Debbie Devotional and even on the Full Tilt Debbie podcast as well. You know, like, draft capital is great. And, you know, you should move players within your tiers because of it. That's perfectly acceptable. Even landing spots or whatever you want to do, or just because you're a Packers fan, you know, move that guy up to the top of the tier. Don't move him up to tier one when he's a tier three player. That's what you don't do. And that's what we're saying. And that's what Aaron was saying is, you know, like, it's perfectly fine to take those players, your Rashee Rices, and like, there is upside there, you know, like, you know, Kansas City is obviously the sexiest landing spot in the history of the world, but they've also proven to be really bad at drafting. Like, think about who they've drafted over the past 3 years and then tell me that, you know, I'm so excited about Rashee Rice. Every year we do the same thing. We go, they're going to draft a stud. Josh Downs is going to the Chiefs. Rashee Rice. Like, you know, it's,
yeah, it's
like
Mecole really Hardman, Hardman, Sky Moore, then now Rashee. But you know what? I mean, who knows?
And then they traded for Kadarius Toney. Like, they're really bad at this, guys. The only thing they got right was Patrick Mahomes, and thank God they did, because it's working out.
Yeah, but I guess somebody has to catch passes there other than Kelsey. And let's hope that Kelsey continues to stay healthy. Not a given at his age, and he's been playing at such a high level with such high usage still. But yeah, somebody has to break out. So there's a low probability chance that it is Rashee Rice. Again, I said low probability, right? It's not a certainty. That's why I don't draft him in the early second, or, you know, pump him up even more. But
I have Rice as my 301 right now in my rankings. Yeah,
that's great.
And, you know, I think, but I would say 99% of the time he's probably going to go ahead of that. And, you know, we're just saying, probably don't do that. There's probably better players to take there. How do you feel about Rice, Andy?
I've always sort of been, he goes, getting pumped up a lot by the Debbie community earlier in the year when he's leading the entire country in receiving and for college football, which is obviously good, but historically it's not great for NFL, you know, especially when these G5 guys who, you know, he's a senior as well, so a late declare as well. You know, he was, you know, jockeying for targets with Danny Gray a season ago. So, you know, not exactly, you know, a star-studded cast over there at SMU. You know, I'm glad he had a phenomenal season, but I'm not sold on it either. Especially, you know, if you think about the other receivers that went on day two, a guy that I don't see, his name is still not being mentioned that much, and that's Marvin Mims, who I think landed in a fantastic spot at Denver.
Yes, he did.
With his second round draft capital as well. Granted, it was the very last pick in the second round, but yeah, I mean, for Rashee Rice, yeah, I think fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, and it's my fault. So I'm not gonna be drafting the Chiefs wide receiver that they took in the draft way higher than he should be. I'm gonna, you know, stick to the process again You know, like you said, Rashee Rice feels like an early third round pick, and he's probably not going to last that long just because he has that connection to Mahomes. Speaking of the Chiefs, like, I like, you know, they added Richie James, who I played pretty darn well for the Giants last year. Had a great game when he was on the when he filled in for Debo Samuel on the San Francisco 49ers a couple seasons ago. I think Richie James is actually, you know, a pretty reliable wide receiver. And I don't think that it's just a foregone conclusion that they're just going to draft the day two guy and he's just going to come in and start taking snaps from people. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Sky Moore is still on that roster, guys. Like, he's also, you know, a second round pick that they took just a season ago. So right. It's possible that he starts seeing some snaps again. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm not pumping him up to like the high second, like I think might actually happen with Rashee Rice.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting, but I think he's going to get pushed up way too much. I love the Mims call out. The landing spot is good. You know, like people always talk about, like, you know, Cortland Sutton hasn't done a damn thing since his first like four games that he ever had. And then he can't do anything when Jerry Judy's on the field, and then Judy can't stay healthy. So why wouldn't you be extremely intrigued about Marvin Mims? Now, I like Jerry Judy. I want him to stay healthy, but I mean, even if he does, I don't think it's that crazy to think that Marvin Mims could overtake Cortland Sutton at some point. And honestly, I mean, they might even all three be able to flourish in that offense and everything. I'm not even saying he has to overtake him. You know, who knows, but he could easily be the third man up. Now, I will say, I know everyone and their mother seems to love Tim Patrick. So, like, I don't want to just act like Tim Patrick doesn't exist and that kind of thing. But I'm very excited about Marvin Mims. And when you're talking about those players, you know, it's Marvin Mims by a mile over Rashee Rice for me, at least.
Oh, yeah. I really like the Mims landing spot, too. And I'm moving him in my dynasty rankings ahead of guys like maybe Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Lockett. You know, I mean, he's definitely trickling up, and he was already rising, you know, for many of us in the pre-draft process, and the draft only yielded a good spot and further confirmation that he is indeed a pretty good player and somebody who can hopefully replicate maybe some of the things that Russell Wilson worked with Tyler Lockett, for example. So definitely intriguing with Marvin Mims. I could see him being a great selection in the early second round in Superflex drafts, for example.
All right, now we haven't actually touched on too many of the tight ends besides Anthony Richardson yet, so I figured we should probably dive into that a little bit more. You know, obviously we had quite a run there of the tight ends in the first and second rounds, you know, the early rounds, the important ones, and it's been considered an elite tight end class. So, I mean, not only did we get the elite talk, we got the elite combines, we got the elite production, and then we got a pretty damn good draft capital at the very least. How are you feeling about this tight end class now that we actually have landing spots, draft capital, all that kind of stuff? Does anything stand out or any one stand out?
For me, no. Michael Mayer fall was, I think, a little predictable. I think that he probably saved a lot of people from overdrafting him in rookie drafts by falling to what was he, the third tight end selected.
I've still seen him drafted at like 110 in quite a few, or I can't say quite a few because obviously there hasn't been that many drafts, but in a handful of drafts, I've seen him drafted around that like 110 to 112 range at the very least, the early second. And I do agree that it's probably a little too early.
Yeah. I mean, so you're still seeing Dalton Kincaid go after him in pretty much every or a lot of rookie drafts anyway. And I don't know if Dalton Kincaid was, you know, the best landing spot either, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Dawson Knox just doesn't exist either, because, you know, he's had some solid seasons as well. Sam Laporta to the Lions, I think, is kind of intriguing. And then also, like I mentioned with the Packers, you know, they get an athletic guy in Musgrave. Musgrave's not a guy that I really liked, you know, pre-draft, pre-combine or anything either. It's just sort of like a athleticism game with tight ends, generally speaking. So that's why I kind of think, okay, well, Musgrave's got the, you know, the fourth best RAS score in the draft. So, you know, maybe that's something.
But I was going to ask you, as a Packers fan, the second one was what, Tucker Kraft?
Tucker Kraft. Yeah.
Yeah, I've Kraft ranked ahead of Musgrave. Yeah. So I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I know you already said you didn't really like him, but
yeah, I don't think I'm going to draft either of them ever. So, you know, I'd much rather take shots on some of these later running backs or some of the wide receivers before I would, you know, scoop up some of these tight ends. Because I think, just, you know, like I said, the Green Bay name just seems to carry a bump in everyone's rookie values. So I think a lot of these tight ends, I remember when like Josiah DeGuara was getting drafted in the third round of rookie drafts, just because people thought, oh, maybe he's going to be the next tight end for Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be here anymore, but but some of the landing spots too, like Darnell Washington, a lot of people thought he was going to be this big steal of the draft. And now he's on Pittsburgh, and you know, Freiermuth is obviously there. Cameron Lott,
Pickett's there too.
Yeah, right. So, I'm not intrigued really by any of the tight ends. Zach Kuntz was a guy that I really wanted to get some draft capital just because he was like a freak of an athlete, but then he fell to like the sixth or seventh round. So, you know, I'm just kind of out on the tight ends. Really, I don't really have a preference for any of them.
Sure. And for me, I have a tier one and two that I'm interested in. And then after that, I think I'm with you. Like Andy said, they kind of drop off. But I do think that Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid are tier one tight ends in this class. And with Sam Laporta very shortly after them. I know I think John had he's continuously updating his model, but I know Laporta was right in the thick of things, right, with Mayer and Kincaid. And I honestly think that
technically Beth has Laporta and Kincaid like almost tied. Extremely close. Now I personally moved Kincaid ahead of him just because of the landing spot and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you can do that, guys. You can move within tiers and all that kind of stuff because they're basically tied. But it's when we go crazy with other things is when I have issues with it. But I'm sorry for cutting you off here.
No, you're good. And you know what? You're probably proving a good point that maybe they all belong in one tier, those top three guys, because they all landed with day one or day two draft capital. They all landed in situations where they can be heavily utilized. Like Andy said, I mean, Dawson Knox is there for the Bills, but there's a reason that they saw a need to get a better tight end in round one. It's not because they wanted a backup, in my estimation. And I've always been a Kincaid guy, but Michael Mayer to the Raiders, I mean, they need a tight end desperately. Sam Laporta to the Lions, another desperate need for them. So, and then no Jameson Williams, right? It's like after Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta could honestly get a role right away. And we'd love to see that with tight ends because sometimes they are that slow burn that takes time. So some at least decent landing spots for those first three. But after that, I'm really disinterested.
Yeah, I was trying to look at where my next tight end is.
I mean, I have Darnell Washington next, but I don't like that. Luke Musgrave probably belongs above because he went in round two. He's similarly athletic, and I mean, he hasn't really proven it, but some of that is due to injury. So, I mean, what's Darnell Washington's excuse? I know he had a great tight end that he played with, but still, come on. There was enough passing volume at Georgia for him to do more than what he did.
I lied. I actually have Tucker Kraft as my next one.
Wow. But that shows how much drops off, at least in my estimation.
It does. It drops off quite a bit. I mean, it's a pretty big drop off from, you know, those top three guys to the other ones. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think, honestly, even through the combine and everything, I was sitting there going, like, I don't think this is nearly as elite of a tight end class as everyone's making out to be. But that brings me back to my other point of, I love this class because people are drafting the shitty players. And so people are going to take Luke Musgrave because he was the first tight end taken, you know, for the Packers. And he was an athletic marvel. People are going to take Zach Kuntz. They don't care. He got six round draft capital. He's the 10 on Raz, you know, which, you know, if you just stopped ever looking at Raz, you'd probably be much better off. But, you know, that's here, neither here nor there.
I wish somebody would tell that to the Green Bay Packers because it seems like that's the only thing that they look at.
Yeah. There's a time and a place for Raz, but it's not for drafting players early. I can promise you that. I think that's enough about the tight ends there. I guess we should probably get into, you know, we've talked about some running backs. We talked about wide receivers, tight ends, obviously the quarterbacks. I guess, no, I will ask you, I feel like we got some interesting backup QB landing spots, either late in the draft or undrafted free agents. I think it was mostly late in the draft, but are there any like backup QBs that are kind of standing out to you now that we actually have landing spots, DC and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, I'm not terribly excited, no. So, I mean, there's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, maybe a little drop-off with Will Levis, and then Hendon Hooker, and then, gosh, there's a big drop-off. It's kind of like the tight end position. There's kind of a big chasm between those top options. And then maybe Stetson Bennett. You like him going to the Rams and seeing what
I Sean love McVay that. That's do. What I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying that he's the best quarterback to ever
play the quarterback round.
Position, but going to a place with the quarterback that has been extremely unhealthy, has considered retirement, and they don't have a lot of like draft capital money, all that kind of stuff. There could be a much worse landing spots than that. So like, I'm not saying he's going to go out and win you a league, but you know, once again, we talked about how there was 68 QBs that played last year. You could easily be playing Stetson Bennett at some point, because guess what? It was the backups to Matthew Stafford that were part of that 68 QBs.
And then like Jaren Hall from BYU going to the Vikings. I mean, you just don't know that the Vikings are actually going to keep Kirk Cousins. And you know what? We're probably not going to actively tank. So that means that we're not going to be in contention most likely for a Caleb Williams or a Drake May. That puts, you know, maybe some interest. I don't really like Jaren Hall, to be honest. I don't love him, right? But if you're just saying from a landing spot standpoint, that's interesting. Jake Haener going to the Saints. I guess some people might be interested in that. I could see it as well.
For me, it's just like the only one that I care about is Stetson Bennett. I think that with Matthew Stafford's health concerns, like, you know, people were thinking maybe he would just straight up retire this year. Due to concussions and spinal injuries and everything else under the sun. I think that he's got the best chance. I was just looking at the draft here. Obviously my Packers took Sean Clifford. If Jordan Love doesn't work out, which I think a lot of us feel like he's going to at least be serviceable, then, you know, that's certainly something that could happen. He could certainly see some playing time. And then also Max Duggan, he's a Heisman finalist a year ago. He went in the seventh round. He's going to be behind Herbert. But you can't project injury, right? And the other thing, you know, Herbert doesn't have anything that would sort of tell you that that's going to happen. But, you know, Max Duggan, I think, is a guy that profiled pretty well. I mean, obviously, we know he's got some arm strength concerns and some size concerns, but he's an accurate passer. We know he can win games. He's a gamer. So it's guys like that that are never going to be like QB ones, obviously, but they're going to like show up and like get a spot start and, you know, maybe score you 15 to 20 points when you need it, because somebody else is hurt on your team or you're on a bye week or something. So there's value in those guys, but I'm not sure I'm using a rookie pick to grab them.
And some of our listeners also are in these insanely deep C2C leagues and things like that. So, I mean, it makes sense to go over some of the depth options, even if we don't have high-end expectations for them. But, you know, a couple of the landing spots could lend themselves to some development and potential spot starts or rises, a couple of these guys, I suppose.
One that I'll be targeting probably in the fifth round at some point, or maybe even after drafts, you know, like after you play around with your taxi and all that kind of stuff, is Aiden O'Connell going over to Las Vegas. And I mean, Jimmy G has never proven anything, first of all, but he's also never proven to be healthy. Has he ever played a full season? I don't think he has. And so, you know, it's a pretty ripe landing spot for him to see playing time. And actually, I honestly don't hate the player. Now, once again, I'm not projecting him to be some stud or anything like that. But, I think that I'm looking for, like, you know, Andy was saying how you can't project injuries and stuff like that. But when you're looking at players that have been injured every year, you could kind of start projecting a little bit. And, you know, obviously it doesn't mean it's going to work out, but I'm looking for that kind of stuff. You know, brand new situation. We have no idea how Jimmy G is going to be outside of San Fran and that scheme and everything. He could just honestly be terrible. And if that's the case, even if he doesn't get hurt, we could still possibly see Aiden O'Connell at some point. But it'd probably be likely, more likely if it was an injury or something. But I think that's about where I'm like done with the QBs at that point. I'm getting nods of approval there. So I guess we'll move on from that. You know, I talked on Sean Tucker earlier. Obviously, we touched on him on Monday with the heart condition. I think you had drafted him in like the early third or something like that,
Aaron? I think it was. So a couple of interesting players from that draft that did fall, because that draft is pretty evergreen, actually. Like if you compare it, how really? Drafts are going to go now, like, yeah, who would have thought, right? Without draft capital, we could so actually weird. Be somewhat accurate. Yeah. But you know, Zach Evans at 201, I think that one definitely that's going to change, right? And then Sean Tucker at 212, I think it was, that's also going to change a little bit. But I mean, Buccaneers landing spot as an undrafted free agent, kind of interesting.
Yeah, like I said, there's not too much unless you think Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, he's literally hardly touched the field at this point. And when he has, he gets pulled pretty quickly. So I don't know that I'm overly concerned about Keyshawn Vaughn at this point. We like Tucker. I think the NFL likes Tucker. The question now is just the medicals. But it's so weird because I just don't understand. Like if these players aren't healthy, like why even give them $155,000 guaranteed? You know, like it doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe they just have so much money, it doesn't matter. And they're like, well, we'll give you 150 grand. And maybe if you stay healthy, you know, it'll work out. And if not, then, oh, well, we lost 150 grand. Who cares? But, you know, I would probably be doing a little more research on that kind of stuff if it was me. Andy, do you have anyone else that is truly sticking out, or do you have more to add on Tucker there?
Not anything else to add on Tucker. I mean, I said earlier that I was surprised that he just went completely undrafted. I thought somebody was going to at least take a late pick on him just to, you know, bring him in and try him out because he was such a dominant player in college. But what was the original question? What are we talking about here?
Just like later round, like fine sleepers, whatever you want to call them. You know, I was trying to pick up on guys that maybe fell. Like obviously the Zach Evans we already touched on, you know, Sean Tucker we touched on. There were some other players that maybe fell a little bit more than we expected. But I didn't know if there was anyone that like it doesn't have to be a faller per se, but like anyone in the later rounds that you'd be truly trying to target.
And there was also sorry to interrupt, just while we're still talking about Sean Tucker though, there was some speculation. Now this is pure speculation. This is not necessarily widely reported, but Sean Tucker may have preferred to go undrafted, choose his landing spot, maybe get a higher signing bonus type of deal. You know, could that have been actually the reason? He's like, no, I don't want to get drafted. He's telling teams, this is my preference. So, you know, could that be part of the reason, not just medicals? Yeah. So I guess that could be interesting as well. We don't know the full story, but yeah, right. Go ahead, Andy. Tell us more about these running backs.
Well, I feel like I dove quite a bit. I mean, I didn't dive in, but I mean, the running backs, I mean, I've already mentioned Evan Hull. I feel like he's going to have a role as like a pass, you know, kind of like what Nyheim Hines was doing at Indianapolis before he got traded to Buffalo. I mentioned, you know, Eric Gray, who's obviously going to be behind. We think he's going to be behind Saquon. He seems like he's like, you know, just one play away from having a pretty significant role. But I will touch on some of the wide receivers. Xavier Hutchinson is a guy that I've really liked for a long time. He ended up at Houston in the sixth round. I think there's at least a path for him to earn some playing time there. It's hard to, you know, really say a sixth round pick is going to end up on the field immediately. But I think, you know, he's a guy that had a good production profile in college. Could certainly, you know, be something in the NFL. And then the other guy that no one's mentioned yet today is Kayshon Boutte, who went in the sixth round to New England. You know, we've got some kind of murkiness around Boutte, and you know, what's going on? Why wasn't he as fast as he used to be, you know, especially in the combine? So, you know, is it still lingering issues? That's something that can be fixed. I don't know. You know, the New England Patriots landing spot is, I would say, pretty good. There's not like an elite receiver on that roster who's going to, you know, just command all the targets. So it's certainly some place that he could carve a role out. And, you know, a year ago, this is a guy that I think the majority of people would say is a tier one wide receiver. So in that aspect, I think that you got to think, okay, well, there's a guy that at least, you know, I may be able to carve some value out.
Yeah, I agree. Aaron was talking about him, you know, last week and how he kind of picked up on the Georgia game and stuff. And, you know, it's so tough with a player like that, because on one hand, you wonder if like the athleticism is just completely sapped because of the injuries. But then on the other hand, you think like how long can, you know, something like that, you know, truly take, you know, it's so weird. It's such a weird thing. He was so good and then he was so bad, and it just doesn't really make any sense. But like you said, Andy, he went to a great landing spot. And I mean, by great, I mean like ambiguous or open landing spot. And, you know, I think that he could definitely see playing time immediately, you know, at the very least, at some point in the season. And so you can't even say that about a lot of your like third round picks and everything that are like kind of guaranteed playing time. So I've been kind of all out on Boutte for the longest time, but to be fair, that was mostly because he was still being talked about in the first round of rookie drafts at the time. But, you know, you give me him in the third round, I think I can get on board.
No, exactly. And I don't have too many more names to throw out there. I mean, I think Dwayne McBride really late in your drafts, Vikings, you know, who knows, I guess, what's going to ultimately happen there with Dalvin Cook. I'm not insanely in love with Alexander Mattison or Ty Chandler, for example. So Dwayne McBride, he is a good rusher, limited receiver, at least from our knowledge, from his production. But that's of interest. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, Xavien Valladay, running back. So Arizona State, I think he was at Wyoming before. And honestly, going to the Texans, Valladay is an interesting option. You look at that depth chart there. And I mean, I'm not saying that he even has much of a shot to be a starter right off the bat, but you know, after Damian Pierce, after what, Devin Singletary, those two, then it really falls off, and you just don't know how much Valladay could impress the coaching staff, as he's a capable rusher and receiver. So that's just a very deep running back shot that it's like, might as well. I mean, the team doesn't have a lot of picks next year either. They gave up so much to just get their combination of Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. It's like, I mean, they're going to be strapped next year. They don't have a first round pick, and they're going to need to make their second and third round picks, you know, matter. Maybe it'll take wide receiver. I see that as much more of a pressing need than running back. So maybe it's another season that Damian Pierce survives the draft next season, or, you know, maybe they'll bring in a free agent, right? They could bring in Leonard Fournette or Zeke or somebody, I guess, but ultimately just a really low probability, but still a little upside.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I could actually find myself drafting Valladay, but I could maybe see myself starring him on Sleeper and, you know, keeping track of what's going on, or, you know, just like making sure that it, like, I don't forget about him, because right, like obviously
a taxi squad type deal too. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a taxi squad, if you have a large taxi squad, or, you know, or anything like that, then, you know, I could see putting him there. But yeah, you know, I'd like, I haven't always taken advantage of like the star feature on Sleeper, and I probably should do it more often, just because, you know, somebody drops a certain player or whatever, and you know, you can go grab them at that point. And I probably do need to be better about that. And maybe that should be a good transition into, we haven't truly talked about like strategy just yet. But you know, I mentioned at least in the show title that we would talk a little bit of rookie draft strategy. So one of those things might be, if you can't draft another player, maybe just throw that star, that favorite, or whatever the hell it's called, on them, and you know, just so you don't forget about them, you get notified if, you know, things change with their situation, that kind of thing. But Andy, you know, do you have any words of wisdom as far as a rookie draft strategy, at least like how are you going to go into this rookie draft now that things have kind of been, you know, flipped upside down, or at least changed a little bit, maybe not flipped upside down, but switched up a little bit? Are you going in with a certain mindset, or are you, you know, just going to stay water, as they say?
I feel like I do most drafts by like the same, you know, mindset. And it's just sort of like take value when it comes to you, because there's always like somebody that drops that shouldn't drop. And if he's there, you gotta take that value. and stick to your process, because you know you don't want to be like caught up and say like, oh man, everyone said it, like, you know, we mentioned Anthony Richardson. Maybe you're in a league and all of a sudden you're at the 105 and Anthony Richardson's right there. And you're thinking, well, man, he's going 102 everywhere else. If you're like me and you don't believe that that's necessarily the best pick, then maybe you do stick with taking Gibbs or Stroud or whoever else is there. And just, you know, let somebody else jump on that grenade, or, you know, find that treasure, however it ends up, you know, playing out. But in this particular draft, I think, you know, I've already mentioned that I think there's going to be a lot of value in the second and third round. So if you can like trade, I wouldn't even say trade back, but make trades where you can acquire some of those extra picks and, you know, maybe move some of your 24 thirds and up, and because people are saying right now, oh, I don't want any part of this draft. Give me your 24 picks. So, you know, take advantage of guys that are doing that, because you might just be able to get one for ones, which typically does not happen. You know, you have to sort of pay a premium to move into this year's draft, which sounds like sometimes, you know, that might not be the case because everyone's saying 24 is going to be so much better than 2023. So, you know, this, at the end of the day, you're going to try, you can't attack every, if you're in multiple leagues, I try to, you know, be different, right? You want to at least, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So you got to have some variance. But at the end of the day, you want to kind of stick to the same roadmap. And that's, and for me, it's, you know, really sticking to my own process, because I've been a victim of like taking Keyshawn Vaughn too early, just because everyone's saying, oh, what a great spot he's in. And then all of a sudden Leonard Fournette shows up and he's worthless. He's been worthless ever since. And people are spending, in some instances, first, early, second round pick on guys like that. Sky Moore last year, you know, just try to be true to yourself, I guess. And unless, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're the one making the final decision. But you know, if you're not confident in it, then yeah, you should, you know, maybe listen to smart guys like John here and Aaron. Definitely not me, but from you know, at the end of the day, you just want to do what you think is the smartest decision. Don't let the ADP make the choice for you.
I like it. And I like some of the points you made too about if you can trade around in your draft. Now be strategic. If you have a tier of players that you like and you're like, well, I can afford to move back a few slots and then, you know, take advantage elsewhere, maybe gain some extra future picks. Not a bad strategy, right? We know during the season, once you're trying to compete for a playoff spot or you're in the playoffs, but you need a Jerick McKinnon, something like that. What do you have to offer them? Did you trade away all of your late round picks? Do you have zero ammunition? Are you going to have to sacrifice something of actual significant value to get a win now piece? Maybe consider what you can do to load up now if you can move back within the draft. And sometimes that'll allow you to move back up if you see a guy falling in your draft. If you see a Zach Charbonnet fall into the very end of the second round, well, yeah, grab him, right? I mean, that's might seem obvious, but if you have that extra ammunition, that's key. And I think, yeah, you got to be sometimes flexible with your strategy, but as long as you know what your team needs, so your team analysis, that can allow you to maneuver the draft. So I'm not saying draft for need. No, still draft for value, right? Draft best player available in these rookie drafts as much as you can. But if you really are like, I need a quarterback, I really need it, don't reach on a Will Levis in the first, right? Just don't do it. A Hendon Hooker at the beginning of the second. Trade around. Try to take advantage of values and still get the guys that you want or need.
Yeah, don't force picks, don't force positions, all that. I have an article coming out in 3 days, I think it is, and it's basically how to draft a rookie, and it's basically talent versus situation. You know, the question that we've always had, you know, is do you draft the talent or do you draft the landing spot or the situation? And I think that, you know, you don't even have to read the article anymore, which is not a good way of pumping it out or pimping it out. But what I'm going to tell you is, you know, it's just don't move these guys too much. Tier-based drafting is the best way to do it. I've mentioned it a million times, and I'll mention it a million more. And, you know, you can move him within the tiers. Do your thing. I'm not going to argue with you if you move a guy that, you know, one guy above another guy, as long as they're in the same tier. You like that player for whatever reason, that's fine. It's just moving them, you know, drastically, moving them substantially. That's when I start hating it. You know, like Aaron was saying, like taking Hendon Hooker at 202. You know, maybe there was a time and a place where that could have been a thing. But with how things went down, like you have to assume he's going to be a backup QB for a year, you know, like that kind of thing. And even then we're talking about a 25-year-old QB that, you know, was in a scheme that isn't fantastic. I like the player. I'm not trying to hate him at all. I'm just saying like there's question marks and, you know, you don't take those guys early. Will Levis, question marks, fell in the draft, second round draft capital, back to Ryan Tannehill. You know, maybe he'll see the field at some point. We don't think he's that good. Don't reach on those kind of players just because it's QB. Don't reach on a running back just because you don't feel like there's any running backs left. There's a lot of running backs in this class. We've touched or talked about a lot of them. So don't think that like you're out of running back somewhere in the second round. There's a lot more to come, and they're probably even easier to come by at that point. But, you know, get the proven studs, get the players. And if you don't trust your process, I was there. 4 years ago, I hated my process. I decided I couldn't do this anymore, and I completely changed my process, created Beth, did all that kind of stuff. Now, you can either do that and spend months and months and months creating your own models and all that kind of stuff, or you can just go check out my rankings. Aaron, slide into the DMs, ask Aaron who you should be taking. Obviously, Andy as well. I know he was trying to be modest there, but you know, if you've ever listened to Full Tilt Devi Pod, that he knows what he's talking about as well. Find somebody. It doesn't have to be me. I'm not just trying to pimp my stuff out. Find somebody that you trust that has a proven process, not just has pretty rankings with colorful this or colorful that or whatever. Like, say, hey, who'd you have last year? Who did you draft last year? Who, you know, do you have your rankings from last year? Like that? Do you have a tweet that you can prove a date, like that kind of thing? Ask for proof. You know, when you're trusting someone's process. And, you know, if they can't give it to you, then they're probably not worth the damn. But that would be my draft strategy is, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again, the best talent matters. The talented players matter. DC only matters so much. Draft the best players, and you will win your fantasy league. Anything to add, boys?
Well, dynasties just got so simple.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Dynasty Coach A. I'm trying to make things simple for people, you know, breaking it down, coaching everyone up. And that's what we do here, baby.
Hey, we appreciate you, Coach. And also, we didn't even get into, and we don't need to get into it. We've talked at length today, but we didn't even get into like Devin Achane, like his landing spot. And there's just, quite a bit of interesting things that happened with this draft. So we'll keep the dialogue going. Reach out to us if anybody has questions, of course. We are happy to always take inquiries or just have a discussion back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron said, you know, I probably will go back and actually listen to the pod from Monday because I don't remember exactly every pick or anything like that. But I'd love to see how, you know, how it really works out. But we gave a lot. I mean, we talked for 2 hours on these players. So we talked about Devin Achane. We talked about all those kind of players. So tonight wasn't about like truly diving into the players. It was more just about what we felt and what we saw from the drafts and that kind of thing. So if you want to learn more about the players and make your own decisions, you can go back to that pod or a lot of the other pods that we've done because we've talked about these players for months and years and that kind of thing. But Andy, what do you have to add?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been at it for almost an hour and a half here. And yeah, you mentioned Devin Achane we haven't talked about. Another guy that had a good landing spot, Jalin Hyatt, who I've liked. He's on the Giants, who they really don't have any pass catchers there that I think are worth much of anything. So he's immediately their wide receiver one as far as like dynasty value is concerned.
Whoa. Did Wandale die?
I think I would prefer Jalin Hyatt personally.
I like wide receivers in right. one round, but I mean that's just me.
You're right about Wandale. He is still something to me. But
I like Hyatt too, and it might actually be a good fit too because I don't give Daniel Jones a lot of credit, but he actually does have a pretty decent deep ball. So like there's worse things in the world than him throwing it to Hyatt.
Right, okay. And we also have to consider that Wandale unfortunately had a significant injury. Right. a little bit different than when he was coming out of college and he had all that momentum. So it doesn't make him a bad player all of a sudden, but that transition back, you know, he has to work back into it. It's not like he's the incumbent starter who already has this super established role. A little bit of ambiguity there. So like you said, Andy, maybe that's where Jalin Hyatt does come in, and maybe they can complement each other because they're both good players.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to get us off on a tangent on Jalin Hyatt, but just like, there's, you know, there's a ton of players in this draft. We definitely did not say everything about all of them. But I think we covered a lot of it. So I don't really have anything else to add. It was fun to be here. I will say that.
Hey, it was fun having you. I'm so glad to break your cherry here. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. But I know, obviously, I already touched on the Full Tilt Devi podcast. That's obviously where I'm from, where you're from, Andy. But do you have anything else going on that you want to talk about? And obviously let them know where they can find you.
Well, I am at AstarFF on Twitter. I really should be tweeting more on there. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's a dead season because spring football is going on in college and I am paying attention to that. I just haven't really had time to like collect my thoughts on all that's going on right now in college football, but I am certainly paying attention, and John and I will be discussing those storylines, you know, on Wednesdays throughout the off season, especially as the pictures become a lot clearer. You know, we just had a big transfer portal shakeup, so there's a lot of stuff that still needs to settle down in college football. But that's where you can find me. Yeah, I mean, we do it. It's not every week in the off season, but every other week. You know, we're just talking a little college football, so. Would be very pleased to anyone that comes and listens.
Yeah, and whereas Aaron and I truly do focus on the players, and we don't get as much into schemes and offensive player, you know, offensive coordinators and all that kind of stuff, Andy has a lot more of that knowledge. And so where I will stick to the player analysis on the Full Tilt Devi podcast, Andy gets a lot more into college football, these teams, schemes, all that kind of stuff. And so you'll get a lot more of that knowledge that you won't get here. So I'm saying, don't like jump over there and forget about us, but you know, you can listen to both.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy, for coming on. This was really fun. I'm glad we had this conversation and glad to get this out early, right? Because it's been kind of a lack of rookie analysis over the weekend here. I'm sure a lot will be dropping early next week, but you know, this is great to get that early insight because some drafts are already starting up, as John and I mentioned with ours.
Yeah, and I have 20 or I've 19 starting tomorrow. So, you know, podcasts later in the week aren't going to help too much at that point. So I'm going to go ahead and get this out tonight, and it'll be ready for you guys when you wake up in the morning, if you're listening to it at that point. And yeah, we really do appreciate you guys. Have fun with your rookie drafts. Like I said, reach out at any point if you have a question about a player. Why did he drop? You know, why is no one taking them, like all that kind of stuff. Just slide into the DMs, me, myself, Aaron, Andy, any of us, just, you know, ask our opinions on the player. We have obviously paid attention to these players for quite some time now, and we can help you out. But once again, good luck in all of your drafts. We will be back as soon as possible. But until then, we are cashing out. See you guys.